We're up to the final section, the eighth candle, the final section of our story. The Jews returned to the temple. They rebuilt the gates that were destroyed. They closed off the breaches. They purified the courtyard from all those that were dead and defiled. They searched for pure olive oil to light the menorah. They couldn't find other than one flask that was sealed from the days of Samuel, from the days pre-first temple period, because technically we don't have such a tradition to seal off a flask of oil. This was a special flask of oil that was hidden specifically from ancient times before the temple times, from before the days of Samuel the prophet, Vayadushi Torah, and as such they knew it was pure because it was a hidden sacred flask. And the oil in that flask was enough for one day. So this flask was a millennium old. This flask was almost a millennium old. The days of the first temple, and then you have a century and a half of the second temple, and you have almost a century between the temples. So you're talking about 750 years.
It wasn't touched,
yeah.
I learned that they usually kept flasks, and the Greeks destroyed all the flasks.
Right, but were they usually sealed by the Kohen Gadol signet ring?
Yeah.
Where do we find that? Right, so they say that. The question is, where does that come from? There are other midrashim about this flask of oil. This midrash says it was from the days of Samuel. Others say this was the same flask of oil that Yaakov Avinu used to anoint the rock. That this is a traditional flask that went along with us throughout our days.
It ran out at this point? Or was there still oil left?
Good point. So if you look closely in the Talmud, it seems like as much as they fill it, the flask remained full. But that's not what he's going to say. He says it has enough for one day. God blessed that flask, and they were able to fill the oil from that flask for 8 days. That's why the sons of the Esmonians accepted this. They declared this prohibition, and all the Jews in unison agreed to make these days of rejoicing, of happiness, like the days of the holidays written in the Torah, and to light candles on these days, to let future generations know that they were victorious, that they had great victories. Remember, it wasn't one war. As we read here, it was three wars. And so when we light the candles, he's saying here, the candles are a way of showing future generations that we were victorious. The candles aren't only about the miracle that happened in the temple. It's about the great miracle of winning the war. And as Maimonides says, it's part of the way we show thanks for that victory. Uvehemen nispod, on these days we do not eulogize, v'lo l'gzotzom v'ta'anit, we don't declare them days of fast. Zulat kolish yeh alav nedom v'lifnei zeh yishalmenu v'yitpalel lifnei elokav. If a person already has a vow that he took earlier, that he'll fast on these days, so then he has to pray before Hashem because he can't go against his vow. When they declared these days, they did not declare a prohibition of work on these 8 days. They didn't make it into a full-fledged holiday. From that day onward, the Greek Empire lost its reputation. And so the Asmoneans received the leadership, the kingdom, from that day onward until the destruction of the temple, 206 years. So here, if this is an authentic part of the Megillah, we see it was written at least 206 years later, right? Therefore, the Jews from that day, we watch over these days throughout our exile. They declare them days of festivities, days of rejoicing. From the 25th of Kislev, we celebrate 8 days. And for eternity, these days will be celebrated among the Jewish people. The priests and the Levites and the wise men in the days of the temple, they accepted this as a tradition from here on for the Jewish people forever. And that is the conclusion of Megillat Antiochus.